Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
We are back and we are fired up here on the Franchise Focus Podcast at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley, you've been waiting for it. It is time to talk about the Tennessee Titans. Are you fired up yet?
Whoa.
All right. Yes. Thanks, guys. Way to pipe in those crowd noises. Here we go. Let's get into the Tennessee Titans.
I'm not sure they're more like self-loathing fans of the NFL than Titans fans.
They're just blame
like,
them, though?
They're just like, I know some Titan fans, and they're just like,
Rustin Webster doesn't exactly inspire.
Here's what I was thinking. Like, we're not going to say a lot of good things about the Titans on this podcast. Is anybody going to come out and go, hey, how dare you? They're going to turn. Like, we got a couple Niners fans that were mad at us about that one. I don't think that's coming on this podcast.
We might be getting cheered by the Titans.
I'm like, yeah, you're right. Let's get change in Tennessee. It's not coming yet.
They were the most boring team in the NFL before last season. If they don't draft Mariota, they're going to be the most boring team again.
We're going to get into all of that, as I said, on previous podcasts. You can get your questions in. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. We've answered your questions already. If you have responses maybe to what you've heard on this podcast or other podcasts, or for the few that we have left, still have to do the Vikings and the Buccaneers to round things up. Please tweet them to us. Don't forget to use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Before we get fired up about the Titans, we're already fired up about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. And it's not just baseball. Play NHL and NBA playoff games on FanDuel, too. So, Joe, if it's like a travel day in baseball and not a lot of teams are playing, or maybe your team is off and you want to get it on the action, we could jump on FanDuel and go play NHL or NBA playoffs, because that action has been great and there's plenty of it every night.
Yeah, and maybe baseball is a little bit overwhelming to you, but you still want to try FanDuel? Well, as Matt said, maybe get in on those NHL and NBA playoff slates when there's fewer games, fewer players to choose from. You'll find out you'll like it, and then you're going to want to get into baseball too. It's a great way to play.
Especially when you turn it into money like Joe Watson did. And he played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win. So sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. A 2-14 season, dead last in the AFC South, one of the worst teams in football. In fact, we would say, as we look at this roster right now, the most boring roster in football. Whether that also means they're the worst, maybe that's up for debate, but I think it is. I don't think you look at this team and go, well, they have that for the future. They have that for the future. There are some guys that we're intrigued by. There are some guys that have played well, but I don't think you look at this roster and go, there's a game changer right there. There's a game changer. These guys don't exist really on this team, at least not on offense.
I like Jarrell Casey.
At least not on offense. I mean,
he's
a skill player.
He's the only guy that I think really pops off the page. Maybe Taylor Lewan, he showed some signs last year, but that's about it.
This is what it comes down to.
They've invested a lot of resources into that offensive line. Now, I don't think the offensive line is terrible. As you said, Lewan and Levitre wasn't great on a big contract. Michael Orr was an absolute disaster on his contract. He got released and he's in Carolina now. Chance Warmack hasn't been great since becoming a first-round pick a couple years ago. So they've invested resources here, but there's a constant stream of underachievers with the Titans, and you have to wonder, is that just
culture?
Organizational poison?
Yeah, it's culture there.
Well, let's get into that, because we look at the quarterback position, and do they know who's starting week one as of right now? Do they think it's going to be someone like a Marcus Mariota they're drafting? number two overall? Is that pick getting traded? As it stands right now, they're at two. Now, that seems to have a giant for sale sign on it, and they've kind of made that clear. But is it Zach Mettenberger? Is it Marcus Mariota? Is there
Winston?
A trade to be made?
Yeah, is it Winston?
Is it Winston? Yeah, yeah. Is Tampa going to take Mariota? Let's throw this out there right away. If the Tennessee Titans right now, say Winston does go number one, let's just go with the common sense or what the common thought is. If the Tennessee Titans, as we sit right now, are considering trading this pick, that means they are not sold on Marcus Mariota. And whether you believe in Mariota or not, and I believe in Mariota if he lands in the right spot, that what a toxic environment that would be for him to land if the Titans feel like they take him because they have to. Not because they want to, not because they're sold on him. Marcus Mariota, if the Titans don't fully believe in him, and there's, I don't know if there's going to be a way for us to find that out if they end up drafting him, he will fail because you have, if you are the quarterback and you're
they're in a conundrum. Like, if they don't take one of those quarterbacks, the fan base is going to turn on them. I mean, they're already kind of turning on them. I mean, this is a toxic situation.
Our guys in the Tennessee have put out kind of tweet polls about, you know, what do you do? And people do seem to be in favor of going with Zach Mettenberger for the most part.
Really?
Yes. And I'm
surprised by that.
You know what I think it is? We saw 7 games. We saw 7 games.
And he didn't play badly, no doubt.
We saw 7 games, and the rest of the time we've seen Jake Locker and Charlie Whitehurst, and we've seen crap quarterbacks from the Vince Young era on.
This is the second season in a row he hasn't finished on the field. He had an ACL injury at college last year, and he had a shoulder injury last year. He's a statue in the pocket. Is there a real problem here? Can the guy stay on the field?
I mean, we know why he fell the sixth round, the ACL. Yeah. He had off-field issues there that dropped him out. You know, there are other issues here with Mettenberger.
He doesn't move. He takes big hits.
The argument for not going with him, besides the stuff that you mentioned, is he's a sixth-round pick. We don't have a lot invested in him. Yes, in other years, if he was healthy or whatever, would he have gone significantly higher? Absolutely, he would have. But when it comes down to it, he's a sixth-round pick. So if they don't like what they see, or if they do want to go with Mariota, or possibly make a trade, because I know Rivers has been involved in that discussion. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
That makes no sense to me, and we'll get to that.
Absolutely. But it's a sixth-round pick is what it comes down to. No matter what you want to say about the guy, there's no serious investment.
And on the flip side from what I was saying about Mariota, that if he lands in a spot where they don't believe in him, he's going to fail. Let me also throw out that if the Titans believe, without a doubt, that Mariota's a franchise quarterback,
they
have to take him.
Right.
You have to take him.
But I think there is some doubt. There's some doubt with both these guys at the top of the draft. I mean, whether they believe it or not.
If there's not a clear-cut answer, if you talk to everybody in your organization that you think has a legitimate opinion that you can go, okay, there's something behind that, whether it's scouts.
Does Rustin Webster count for that?
I don't know. Ask the fans about that one, too. Ask them what they think of Ken Whisenhunt as well. But if you ask all of your important people in the organization and the majority say, yeah, we think it's Mariota, I don't think you're going to get a consensus. I don't think you're getting a strong consensus, I'd say that. It's a sixth-round pick for Mettenberger, so I get making the move. I hope he doesn't go there. I think we would say the same. I don't think.
Oh, Mariota? Yeah, we don't want him there.
For
fantasy purposes, I'd rather him end up in a much better situation.
I'm almost convinced that they're messing this pick up.
They have earned that reputation.
Yes.
As you said,
it's well-deserved.
I'm probably, because of my opinion of the Tennessee Titans front office and the way that they do business, I'm probably going to hate the pick no matter who they make, because if they draft a guy who I love in Dante Fowler, I'm going to be like, well, there goes his career. If they draft Leonard Williams, I'm like, well, are they going to get the best out of him? If they draft Mariota, I'm going to feel terrible for the kid.
It just goes back to the Bishop Sankey pick last year. Everybody thought he was a consensus fourth or fifth round pick, and they go second round.
He's the first running back off the board.
I mean, do we have any faith in what they're doing?
He looked like a fourth-round pick on the field.
Lucky of a fourth. He might have been an undrafted guy.
Hey, we had him as our number six running back in the pre-draft rookie report last year.
In a bad class last year.
Yeah.
I just do not have a faith in this team whatsoever. Oh, and by the way, just for aesthetic purposes, they also have the worst uniforms in the NFL. So, I mean, just top to bottom, this organization is a disaster.
Let's talk about positives we saw in Mettenberger, because, you know, we did see him for seven games. He completed about 60% of his passes, just over 1,400 yards, 7.9 yards per attempt, not a bad number, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 17 fantasy points per game in his 6 starts. He's got a big arm. I remember going back, if you remember in the preseason, and I'm not saying this is something you put into your evaluation of the guy, but you just saw the difference between him and the other guys. He was called into a preseason game, I think against the Saints, not supposed to ready to be playing yet, was going to come in the second half, and made a monster throw down the field. I think the Justin Hunter stepped up in the pocket, and on court when you go, they don't have that besides him.
There's not many guys that have that.
Right,
period.
And that's a positive. I mean you see that.
Very few quarterbacks in this league that have the type of arm that he does.
Now, injured the arm, you know, the shoulder last year. That's what cost him the last couple of games, three games of the season. It was in his throwing shoulder. But there are some positives here. It's a small sample size.
Very small. You're absolutely right. And I think you can make a legitimate argument that he was the best rookie quarterback aside from Teddy Bridgewater last year.
You couldn't make that argument.
I mean, at times you could argue he was better than Bridgewater. I think you can. But what do we have tangible here? We know that Mettenberger cannot stay on the field, as Tom said. And his play style, if his body is conducive to getting injured. Because he can't move, and their offensive line was not good, and he takes big hits. And you know what? You like seeing that from a quarterback, but we're now talking about a guy who's had two pretty serious injuries 2 years in a row. Throwing shoulder injury and an ACL. So if they think Mariota's better, they have to take him.
Now, you talk about what does he have to work with here. Now, Kendall Wright is a player we like from a talent standpoint, and he's kind of lost in the abyss that is the Tennessee Titans. A couple of years ago, he's a 90-catch guy. Last season, falls off. 57 on 93 targets, 61.3% catch rate, 715 yards, 12.5 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns in 14 games, number 33 wide receiver, 12.1 fantasy points per game. So he's a 3. He's a flex. That's okay, but I think there's more there. I mean, 94, 1079 in 2013 – he's just kind of lost here on this team. And I know the quarterback situation was terrible. You know, we can talk about Whitehurst and Locker, and then obviously Mettenberger at the end of the season.
I'll throw a question out. Would you guys feel better about the receivers and the tight ends going forward with one of the rookie quarterbacks or with Mettenberger? I think I would lean towards with Mettenberger.
Me too.
Lean with Mettenberger, if only because I'm on the record saying that I think Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota is set up to fail if they get drafted by this team.
Well,
if they're on the team, probably
Mettenberger.
I mean,
yes.
I feel like Mettenberger has the better arm. He can get it deep. He can work the intermediate areas. I feel better about these guys if Mettenberger's
a quarterback. Also, let's bring this up. Kendall Wright was almost exclusively a slot receiver last year. So who's the Titans' big addition at wide receiver?
Another slot receiver.
Harry Douglas, who almost exclusively has been a slot receiver in his career. Now, he does have some experience playing outside.
Because of injuries.
Of course, they go sign Harry Douglas, who is best playing out of the slot.
When they could have just kept a guy like Nate Washington, who can at least work on the outside. Yeah. I mean, not like Nate Washington special, but I mean, at least he works on the outside.
Who do they sign? They sign Harry Douglas and Anthony Fasano. It's like, Ken was like, what veterans can we add to this team?
What mediocre veterans can we get here?
How can we bring some better guys into this locker room to bring us from a 2-win team to a 4-win? I mean, there's nothing exciting about it. And then you have a guy like Justin Hunter, had the ruptured spleen last year. That put him on the injured reserve after 12 games. But he didn't do much either. We're waiting for him to break out still. 28 catches on 65 targets. 43.1% catch rate. Yes, that's on the quarterbacks, but that's on him as well. 498 yards, 17.8 yards per catch. There's the number that gets you excited and go, oh, maybe there's something there with this kid. 3 touchdowns, 12 games, 8 fantasy points per game. He hasn't hit it yet. And a couple years ago, it was maturity issues, you know, getting in dumb fights with coaches or arguing with guys on the field, stuff like that. There's talent here. But, you know, at what point do you go, all right, what is this
guy? He's been horrific so far.
Right.
He was a big breakout candidate because he flashed that ability. And by the way, you have to blame Justin Hunter.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
43.1% catch rate. But once again, I'm going to bring up that if a player like this, who I think almost needs to be coddled to really reach his potential,
that's a good word,
is in Tennessee, I'm going to take the under on it. I really am.
And Hunter, besides the off the field, you know, he's not all there. And he struggled coming out of college with his hands, which 43% catch rate, and he's not a refined route runner.
We're still waiting for him to put it together. Yeah. There hasn't been signs of that. And as Joe said, in Tennessee, that's not helping. The quarterback situation is not helping. There's nothing good around him.
And it's, by the way, he played a ton of snaps last
year. Yeah, it wasn't like he was a part-time player. He was their guy on their
like, this wasn't like with Bishop Sankey where we're like, all right, we didn't love Bishop Sankey, but geez, at least put the guy out there over Sean Green. Justin Hunter was out there.
84% of the snaps last season when he was, before he went on the IR. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. He was out there. He was also out there possibly because of necessity, too, for what they didn't have. Nate Washington's now gone. We know that. They bring in Harry Douglas. And let's talk about Bishop Sankey. And let me start here because I know the guy, we talked about him early, went, he was overdrafted. And I get that. But late in the season, when you're playing the Jets... Late in the season.
Oh, gotta give Sean Green that revenge game.
That's literally what Ken Wisenhunt said. Well, I thought I'd be a little extra motivated. Are you kidding me? That's a fireable offense.
Let's not give the rookie some snaps to see what we got. No, let's give veteran Sean Green more snaps to get revenge.
Maybe give the young player, the rookie, you stink. Let's put him against a tough defense and see what he can do. Let's let him take his lumps there. No. It's a revenge game for Sean Green because we got to get to 2 wins or 3 wins. If you want to point, if you're a Titans fan, go fire him over that philosophy, I get it. Because if that's the kind of thoughts he's having, I can imagine why this team's in the shambles that it's in. And going forward, I don't know how you can be excited when a guy is thinking that way.
By the same token, Wisenhunt also probably saw enough of Bishop Sankey last year to think, oh, we really effed this up. There is nothing about Bishop Sankey that I love. There's a couple things I like. I think he could be a nice rotational player. He has very little functional strength. Matt, we were sitting at the NFL draft. We were doing a show that night when they took Bishop Sankey and we're like,
whoa,
really? It was an uninspired pick from day one. We thought that was a Carlos Hyde spot. We thought that was potentially a Jeremy Hill spot.
Look, certainly, they had a need. They absolutely had a need.
Sean Green is your top guy
guess
on the roster.
They still have a need, and they still might have to draft somebody high. And then maybe Bishop Sankey's in a better spot.
Maybe he's in the spot. He's a complimentary player. He should be used more on passing situations.
We're going to have a Bengals situation here where they're going to take a running back in the second round or second and third round 2 years in a row, except the problem being Gio Bernard's a lot better than Bishop Sankey is. This team.
We're not excited about Bishop Sankey. You can't be right now. It's still a need for this team. Who's the one bright spot? You say Delanie Walker, I guess, last season?
Delanie Walker is their bright spot. Think about that.
He was their best offensive player last year. 63 catches, 104 targets, 60.6% catch rate, 890 yards, 14.1 yards per catch is a pretty nice number for a tight end. 4 touchdowns in 15 games, the number 7 tight end.
4-plus catches in 10 games, that's pretty nice for your tight end position.
Oh, he was great last year. I dropped him after week one, before week one.
Oh, he didn't want something to do with the Titans?
In a league where, in hindsight, it was obvious why I made the move.
No, I get it.
It would have helped my team to have him. I'm not trying to knock Delanie Walker. I think the guy's a good football player. He's your bright spot, you're in trouble.
Yes. You're talking about a guy who was a number 2 tight end in San Francisco for years, comes here, and it's like, all right, well, we got Delanie Walker now. By the way, they got even more exciting with the addition of Anthony Fasano.
He's going
to score 5 touchdowns.
He's going to score 20 passing touchdowns.
He's going to ruin Delanie Walker for fantasy. That's what Anthony Fasano is going to do. As if the Titans can't screw things up enough, that's what they're going to do. So let's get into the draft.
Maybe they'll have a great draft. Maybe they will.
Well, before we get into the draft, let's look at the very important MFL data because
let's see.
I'd like to know how down people are on Bishop Sankey.
Okay. Bishop Sankey.
Now, as we said last year, he was number here where he finished. He was behind guys like Bryce Brown and Theo Riddick and Tyree Robinson. Oh, yeah. 6.3 fantasy
points. And he was a guy that was going fifth or sixth round of some fantasy drafts.
He was
sneaking into the fourth rounds of some drafts.
He was the number 62 running back in fantasy points.
I saw him go second round in an expert's draft, by the way.
Oh, I remember that. That expert's draft is no longer an expert's draft. So where's he going in the 2015 NFL 10s as we stand right now?
Not a chance in hell I'll be taking him here. 81.7 pick overall makes him a 7th round pick. He's the 32nd running back off the board. He's going ahead of Doug Martin, another player I want absolutely nothing to do with. He's going ahead of two players who I would take over Bishop Sankey easily. Ryan Matthews, I'd take over Bishop Sankey. I don't care that he's the second back in Philly. I'd take him over Bishop Sankey.
By the way, Matthews finished 2 spots ahead of him last year with all those injury issues.
Rashad Jennings, I would take 10 times out of 10 over Bishop Sankey. Some rookies, Yeldon, Duke Johnson. Andre Williams, who I hate, I would take over Bishop Sankey. Chris Ivory, I'd take over Bishop Sankey. This is, by the way, somebody took him at pick 38.
Here's the thing. You know, you've brought up a lot when we do these podcasts. Well, some of this could be before free agency. There's nothing here that's changed for the Titans that should
at least Frank bump Gore's moved ahead of him.
Like, but I'm saying there's nothing like that. You look at Sankey and go, well, this happened in Tennessee, or they lost it. Like, nothing's big has happened there.
The only thing that could potentially happen is they don't draft a back, which I think they're going to. I think they're almost guaranteed.
Better.
I mean, if they get a guy here who can absorb some contact, not named Sean Green, then maybe Sankey gets put in a position to succeed, and you almost end up liking him a little better.
All right, let's talk about Kendall Wright. As I said, drop off last season. Did still finish as the number 33 wide receiver with 12.1 fantasy points per game, but is coming, you know, a 57 catch season comes after a 94 catch season. So where do the people now think about
it? Do you want him in between, actually? Right. You know, people aren't
I think that's probably where he's going to finish, somewhere in that 70-75 catch
range. By the way, Kendall Wright is a one example of a player who needs to get the hell out of here and go play with Tom Brady
somebody,
or something.
Anybody.
Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that. He's going at pick 108.6, makes him a 9th, 10th round pick. 44th receiver off the board. I kind of think that's fair.
He's down from his finish.
And by the way, these are PPR.
Yeah, number 4 PPR receiver, that's pretty
good. I think that's fine.
That's fine. I'm totally cool with that.
And let's take a look at Delanie Walker here. Just Fasano shouldn't change things too much. Yes, he's going to steal some touchdowns, but he was the number 7 tight end last year, obviously overachieved in fantasy players' eyes, but
once
I would think
again,
he's going down.
Kind of fair spot. 125.6, 10th, 11th round.
Okay.
Oh, wow. 11th tight end off the board. So aside from the weird overrating of Bishop Sankey, which happened pre-draft last year, it happened post-draft last year, it's happening now, even after a terrible rookie season, the Titans players are very affordable as bench options.
The thing with Sankey I don't get is, it's like, well, you could say he's a young player who's got some upside and show you, like, he didn't show you anything. None of it was there.
The thing I get to with him is I didn't like him coming out of Washington. And it's not like this is a Carlos Hyde spot where you thought he might get more touches, but you did like him coming out.
But at least, like, out of Washington, at least he flashed on a couple plays. He had a couple nice
plays. I just don't know what you point to and go, like, well, he did that, so I see why I could go on the way up this year. The only thing you can say is,
I can't think of a single Sankey play from last year.
You just hope he's got a bigger role. That's all you're hoping for. Exactly. That's a good point.
I'm going to throw out a hot take. I wonder how much of this is because he has a cool name.
Bishop Sankey.
Remember when Knowshon Moreno was overrated because he was named Knowshon Moreno? But, of course, he was a first-round pick. But still.
As we look at their draft needs, though, running back, as we said, is still up there. I think wide receiver is still in the mix.
Everything's in the mix.
Everything is pretty much in the mix.
Pass rush. Leonard Williams would be a completely defensible selection, in my opinion.
What about their defense? Is there something?
Jarrell Casey. Really good.
Right, obviously.
Yep.
But after that, they need help.
They went outside Parrish Cox, who, by the way, this is a team that does not give a crap about off-field issues, by the way. They went outside Parrish Cox. They drafted Zach Mettenberger. They got Justin Hunter, Taylor Lewan. I mean, this team does not give a crap. But maybe, and you know what? Maybe that's part of the problem.
Maybe the Sean Green thing last year when he got in trouble with the parking thing. They're like, nah, you can go play. Go, don't worry about it. Like, there was nothing. Nothing.
They signed Brian Arakpo. I actually kind of like that move.
Coming off the injury again,
So, I'll flat out.
But they still need to address that pass.
Brian Arakpo is always hurt. Yep. There you go. I complimented Rustin Webster. I kind of like Brian
Arakpo. You like the signing.
I think Parrish Cox is a good player. They just don't give a crap about off-field issues. Jarrell Casey's awesome. The defense at least has pieces to work with. The offense,
They don't have game changers on this team. They have far from them other Casey's than Casey. The only one. Right. Yep. I get that. So a lot of issues for Tennessee. And what do they do with the number two pick? Because if you're not taking Mariota, that for sale sign is big and huge. And who wants it? And who wants to give us players that can help us? Or more importantly, who wants to give us a bunch of picks that we can build with for the next years to come? Because that's more important right now to me.
They need to.
They got
to. They can sell that number two pick. They need to do it because they have so many holes.
If I have said, I have said this, the Titans trading the number two pick for Phillip Rivers.
That's so stupid.
Makes no sense to me whatsoever. Which is why I think they're a threat to do it. I'm dead serious. Now I think I think Rustin Webster wouldn't just give up the number two for Phillip Rivers alone. Which is why the Chargers wouldn't do it.
This team has failed to make any real traction. Obviously, the Super Bowl run was nice, but they have failed to make any real traction since the McNair and Eddie George days. And I wonder if
one random awesome year with Kerry Collins. Remember that they were 13-3, but then they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
They have not done anything. You go, we got that. That's the 15, 16 years ago when you go back to the Super Bowl year. Like, do they look? This is stupid, but you have to think this way because of how dumb this franchise is. Well, the Predators are doing some stuff in the NHL. We got to make a splash, take the town back a little. Maybe we should trade for Rivers. Unfortunately, it's in play. You have to think that way with this team. That's how.
And I hope they don't use that same mindset to take Mariota because
right.
We need to make a splash. Lloyd Williams isn't the splash.
Phillip Rivers would make them a better team. I'm not trying.
No. But that team's not going anywhere in the next year or two. I mean, Rivers is an aging quarterback. He needs to be on a decent team. For the next 2 or 3 years, this team isn't even close to being decent.
Apparently, I've never been to Nashville. Apparently, it's awesome.
Great place. A lot of fun people. I'm sure great town.
You know what? I'm not going to go to a football game while I'm there.
The stadium's right downtown there. You can enjoy
it. I'll go listen to music. I won't go to the games.
By the way, we're getting another – we taped this after the schedule came out. We're getting another Jaguars-Titans Thursday night football affair.
Hey,
mark your calendar.
We just discussed the Jaguars on the podcast. I don't think they're as bad as everybody thinks they are. Of course, once again, I said that last year. I think the Titans are just as bad as everybody thinks they are. That's the difference.
You can just tell by the tone of this podcast, the optimism. There was at least some optimism with the Jaguars podcast. This is
Titan fans, if you're mad at us, I'm sorry we brought a lot of truth today. Because if you're watching that team and saying we're wrong.
You know what, though? I guarantee it they're on the other side of this podcast. They're nodding their heads in agreement with a lot of this stuff.
I want teams to be good. I want a team like that to get better. But when you see everything going in the wrong direction – and you don't see it at light at the end of the tunnel because maybe they got to turn around and go the other way. That's when you get worried.
The thing I got to say about the Titans is the word that comes to mind is uninspired.
Correct.
Just everything.
Boring and uninspiring.
Well, let's throw out their beat writers for the Tennessee.
Great guy.
Very good. They do a great job.
There you go.
Wish they had a better team to cover. All right, there's our look at the Tennessee Titans. You want to respond to this? You agree, you disagree, you go, I am a Titans fan. Why did you have to bring up all these sad memories and things I have to think about going forward? Or you're mad at us for ripping the Tennessee Titans and being honest.
Are you Bishop Sankey's mother?
She didn't have him on her fantasy team either.
I'm so sorry.
Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattCamp, at FG_Nolan, at FG_Bali. One more reminder about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. And not just baseball, you can get involved in NHL and NBA playoff games on FanDuel too. Tom, you are a fan of Pittsburgh teams, so you may be looking to get other things to watch at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And my National League Roto team is off to a very slow start. I am so sick and tired of watching them. So maybe I'm going to go draft some guys that I actually want to watch and root for.
Joe Watts from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users for every dollar you deposit. FanDuel will match it with up to $200. That gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Speaking of sign-ups, you have very little time left to take advantage of the early bird special here at FantasyGuru.com. $24.95 for the season, $5 off the regular price, or for two seasons at $45. And you want to take advantage of that now. Not only do we have these podcasts going up, but you have the pre-draft rookie report from Joe and Tom. We'll have the post-draft rookie report and the stock watch updated right after the draft is over. So you'll be able to kind of retool and get an idea of things maybe with your dynasty rookie drafts coming up. We'll have ours coming up here at FantasyGuru.com. We'll be talking about that. Check out John Hanson and Greg Cosell's podcast, the post-free agency one, the pre-draft one. You can check out Mike Horn's offensive identity articles. A lot of great stuff there. Our player profiles are underway. We're getting ready with those. We'll be as comprehensive as ever. Plenty more stuff in the offseason. Of course, we'll really ramp it up July and August for draft. And, of course, into the season as well. $24.95. Get in, though, because it runs out at the end of April, the early bird special. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.